This are the instruments Mr. Laverne today, two instruments are the center of the Eden Bishkot. The first of the instruments that we are going to discuss is the Mishkot Din Eved Ivri. We know the Pasuk Bishkot in the first of the instruments is the Din of an Eved Ivri. Eved is always Eved. Buy an Eved from Goyim. In that case, the Goy becomes his as a slave. Totally. It becomes his property. There's also a din of an Eved Ivri. And it's called Eved, but it's far removed from the concept of slavery. The mitzvah is Lodun b'din Eved Ivri, that we act in reference to the Eved Ivri, k'mishikos of the Pasha, as the Pasha tells us, sh'ne'amah k'sikne' Eved Ivri, so he should work for you for 6 years. And on the seventh year, he goes out free. Goymar sh'na'asoleh ha'dvorim, we should do with him all those things sh'nitztaveinu b'hem that the Torah commands us. Kegun l'sholcha b'shviz, to free him on the seventh year, by b'seich sheish, or even before the seventh year, within the sixth year, b'boga b'yevel, if the yevel year happened to be within those 6 years. Another manner in which he goes free is b'giroin kesef, if he buys himself out, paid a certain amount to the Eved to take him as an Eved, and then after 3 years, for instance, he wants to go free and he has a half of the money that was paid to him, so if he gives that money to the Odin, he also becomes free. If the master dies and doesn't leave a son, even though he leaves a daughter, the din is Eved is habein v'loyas habas. He doesn't have to remain enslaved to the daughter. And if he has a son, then he has to work for the son. If he has no son, has a grandson, he doesn't. Even though according to the rules of Yerusha, of inheritance, the grandson would inherit. But here it's not a question of inheritance, it's a din of Eved es Habein. Once there is no Ben Zohar, there's no more din of Eved Ivri. Another din that's mentioned in that Sedra is the Nirtza Gamke Kidin HaKosher. Suppose he doesn't want to go out free, so there is in the Sedra mentioned the din of an Eved Nirtza, and that he has his ear bored at the mezuzah of the bias, and he remains on to work until the Yevon year. Avodah le'olam is elamish le'yevon, until the year of the Yevon. Why does he have to have his ear bored? So Chazal tell us a very interesting thing. Oizen sheshomo avar Sinai. The ear of the Jew which heard on Sinai. Ki avodai hein. That Klal Yisrael are my slaves. They are servants unto Hashem Yisborach. Avodai v'loy avodim la'avodim. They are to serve only me, and they're not to serve any other masters. And he goes out and says that he wants to have another master for one reason or another. That infringes upon his belief, his emune in Hashem Yisborach, that he is a free individual, only subservient to Hashem Yisborach alone. And when one foregoes that, his ear must be punctured to teach him. You haven't heard well. You haven't used your ear. You haven't used your sense of hearing as it should have been used. Hakol k'mishim dunu rabiseinu z'chleinu v'vrochem k'chakosu, all these beings that are within this parsha, as we have been taught by Chazal, who learned all these things from the Pasuk itself. Mishoroshe mitzvah zu, What is the rationale of the mitzvah? Shevrotza HaKeil, Hashem Yisborach's will was Shiyyeh Amo Yisrael Asher Bochav, that this nation of Israel, whom he has chosen as his people, he wanted them to be an Am Kodesh. He wanted them to be a holy people. And as a holy people, they must be mole, filled with, umeutor, and crowned with, bechol midesh tovers umeulis, with all of the finest character traits. They must be possessed of the finest character traits, because since he has chosen us to be his people, sanctity doesn't mean am etspringi mikve. Sanctity means that you're to act as holiness dictates. Sanctity means that one is to see within you that you are different from other people. And in what shall this difference become apparent? In midas tavis, in the character traits of Klal Yisroel. How do you act with your fellow man? There is where one sees sanctity. That's Kedusha. When one is such a Kodesh, then he understands what is the Kedusha of Tvile and what are all the other things that involve Kedusha in Klal Yisroel. But if one is as an individual, he is corrupt as an individual. He represents the very contrast to that which sanctity means. And therefore, if you are an Am Kodesh, you must be mole umeuto. You must be filled with and crowned with kol midis tevis umeulis, all of the good and wonderful character traits, the best possible in human living. Ki mitoich kach, because in that manner, tochoil habrocho aleihem, they will then be worthy of God's blessings. That's what makes us worthy of the favor of Hashem Yisborach. That's what puts us in good contact with Hashem Yisborach. Vachesed, v'rachmi, and chesed, loving kindness, pity. These are min hamidis hamishuvochei shebo'ilom. These are among the finest character traits in human living. And therefore, Al Kain, Ki Zironu, the Torah HaKdoshe commanded us, L'Rachim, to show loving kindness al asher tachas yodein, to one who is under our hands, one who must serve me, so I can make him feel the fact that he's a slave. No, don't do that. Act with him even better than you would act with yourself and with your fellow man. And therefore, Chazal tell us that if he has only one piece of bread to eat, don't share it with him. Give it to him rather than to yourself. You have a bed and not a second, give it to him and not to yourself. Because if you take it for yourself, he then feels that he's subservient to you. He can't have the comfort that the master has. So the master has to forego his personal comfort for the sake and for the benefit of one who seemingly is his slave. What higher concept could there be of chesed and of rachmim? So to act to one whom I have paid in order to work for me, and he must serve me a period of 6 years. He's called in that period of time an Eved Ivri. He's not an employee of mine. He's called an Eved Ivri. And this is how the Jew is commanded to act unto the Eved. L'rachim al asher utachas yodein, v'ligm loy chesed, and to perform loving kindness unto him. Kasher kosu paparsho, as is written in the parsha, as we have accepted through Torah Shebaalpeh, among the sodim that we are obligated to perform for an Eved Ivri is if he has a wife and he has children. So the Odin is obligated to support the wife and the children. He's a slave. What can I do? He had to sell himself into slavery. What shall the wife and children do? Let her go out and collect charity for herself. No, it's not to be that way. He's subservient to you, so you are obligated to take care of his family during the years of slavery under your possession. Where do we deduce this from? Because the Pasuk says that when the time comes to go free, his wife shall go free with him. She was never enslaved. What do you mean she shall then go free with him? It means that whereas during his enslavement, the master was obligated to support the family, she now goes forth from the home of the master on her own. Now she has to begin worrying about things herself, and her husband is to take care of her. Up till now, she was taken care of by the master, by the Odin. This is one of the highest concepts in Chesed and Rachmin that we can possibly imagine. I needed an Eved, and I paid for it. I paid what I had to pay for it. I paid the market value, the market price. He's working for me, not as a favor. And nevertheless, I must realize that he is a human. He's not a behemoth. He's not an animal. He's a human. And as a human, I must enter into the consideration that what's to be done with his wife and children. Not only must I have in mind their welfare, it means I have to have in mind his welfare. I have to think, when I take him, this Eved Ivri, how is he going to feel that because of the necessity to become an Eved, his wife is left without parnosah? There's no one to worry about his children during these 6 years. How will he feel during this period of enslavement? And I have to consider the feelings of the Eved. And it means that I must take them into my home. I must feed them. I must care for them. And it's very, very possible that all this will amount to such an amount of money that where is the slave? What have I done for myself? What have I gained for myself? You've gained for yourself a training period of 6 years in Chesed and in Rachmin. The Eved Ivri, the first mitzvah in Mishpotim, in the laws of Be'odim Lachaveri, in the Torah of Klal Yisrael, is to teach you what is Chesed and what is Rachmin. To what an extent does the holiness of a Klal Yisrael make demands upon Klal Yisrael? You can't just say, I'm a Nifkor, I'm a chosen people. I'm a holy people. I'm Kodesh Atol Hashem Edekeva. And you're proud of the fact you're a Kodesh. What is Dusha? What does Dusha demand of you? What does Dusha make of you? It makes of you one who can go through a Pasha of Eved Ivri and observe the laws of Eved Ivri in such manner that this is one of the highest degrees in the performance of Chesed and of Rachmin. That's a Jewish slave. And that's what it means to be master over an Eved Ivri. Now, in reference to an Eved Kenani, the Torah doesn't demand to such an extent your attitude towards the Eved. But even there, in reference to an Eved Kenani, there are many, many laws that involve the performance of Av, of Chesed, and of Rachmin to the Eved, even to the Eved Kenani. To such an extent that Avodim Kenani, who worked for Jews, many, many times refused to go out free when the Odin wanted to free them for one reason or another. Refused to go out free because where would they find the chesed that they enjoyed in the home of a Jewish master? Tevi, the Eved of Rabbi Gamliel, he was a goy, he was an Eved Kenani. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say the word goy, because an Eved Kenani is mechuyev b'mitzvahs like an ish. He's no longer a goy. Miklal akum yotzo. He isn't an oyved avidizor anymore. He's not a goy. Tevi, avdei shel Rabban Gamliel, was a Talmud Chochem, the Gemara says. That's what the Eved did in the home of a Jewish master. He studied Torah there and became a Talmud Chochem under the adnus of an Odin. Would we imagine such things in other homes? When it's a plain, simple slave. What happened to slaves in the United States when slavery was permitted here? They were like behemoths. The Eved Knaini never turned into a behemoth. He never turned into an animal, into a chattel, when he belonged to a Yisroel, even though he wasn't an Eved Ivri. And therefore, the Eved Knaini himself, there is no such thing as keeping a Knaini as a slave. You're not even permitted to do that, because then he's a goy, he's an Eved Ivri, and you don't keep him in your home. To keep an Eved in your home, he must also become obligated to Torah and to mitzvahs. And every Eved Knaini is mechuyev in all the dinei haTorah, the same as a woman, as an isha. He's freed from those mitzvahs which a woman is freed from. But all the mitzvahs that a woman is obligated to observe, the Eved Knaini must also observe. We learn that from a pasuk, as in Yeshova, lo lo me'isha. In reference to an isha, the word law is found in the Pesuk of Gedeshon, Get. In reference to Eved Knaini, you also find the word law, Bashifta Knaini, when he gives her a shtar shifu to free her from bondage. So we learn in Yeshova, law, that they are similar in their laws. The same laws that are incumbent, the same mitzvahs incumbent upon a woman, a Jewish woman, those same mitzvahs are incumbent upon a Shifka Knainis and an Eved Knaini. He's raised from what he was before. The very fact that he enters into the home of a Jew elevates him. He's to feel that he's being elevated through the Abdus. He's no more that which he was before. And if the Eved doesn't want to do so, for a year's time, you can keep him in the home and try to see what can be done with him. And if after a year he refuses, so you have to get rid of him. You're not to keep him in the home, because it's dangerous for the Jewish home to keep those who are not obligated to the Kedusha of Torah. So the Eved Knaini becomes part of Kedusha HaTorah, let alone the Eved Ivri. But in reference to Eved Ivri, there are such dinim incumbent upon us only in reference to an Ivri. And the purpose of it all, the Chinuch says, is to invest within ourselves the midas of chesed and the brachim, which are the character traits of a Jew. Avraham Avinu was the mekayim of chesed and rachim, not merely for Jews. There were no Jews then. So he was the mekayim of chesed and rachim to the world at large. He brought into his home orchim, who were Oivdei Avedei Zorah. These he brought into his home to teach them to leave Avedei Zorah. Rachatsu, wash your feet of the dust which you serve as an Avedei Zorah, and accept upon yourself Adnus HaBeirah. Start to believe in Hashem Yisborah, master of all mankind, master of the universe. That was his chesed. He was the Adonai Chesed, Chesed Li Avraham. So we as children of Avraham Avinu have embedded within us this character trait of Chesed. And the Torah commands us, this is one of the instances where we are commanded to fulfill this character trait that is within us, to keep it alive, to give it ever more strength. This is a Jew. This is what Jew means. The next mitzvah
refers. The person over here is an ani who is selling himself in this particular mitzvah. Is it better to give him tzedakah outright or to purchase him in the marketplace?
If he wants to sell himself, it's better to take him purchase him. because when one earns money, it also makes them feel much better than to live at the hand of others. Doke is not earning anything. So that there's a certain amount of bizoya involved in this. Whereas if a person goes out and does menial labor, but he earns it, then it's a different thing.
But that's the highest step of the start, that you put the person to work, for putting the person to work at giving a sense of freedom. No.
Yeah, sure.
So this year you're getting in the sense that you still have in the next 6 years.
So therefore what?
I mean, there's a difference between...
I'm putting him to work for me? If not to work for someone else, I'm putting him to work. But I'm not letting him go out and live by the kindness of others and not earning what he's living by.
Give him a job.
I have no job. What can I do? I have a job for him. If I have a job for him, he would become a player. And he wouldn't be on the market of slaves to sell himself. But there's no one that has jobs for him. So you need him for menial labor around the house. So for 6 years you keep him that way. Mitzvah Yiyu Shalom Ivri is the next mitzvah. What is that mitzvah? V'yayid Om Ivri. If one has not an Eved Ivri, but an Om Ivri, and an Om Ivri can only be a Kanan up to Yudbei Shona B'Yomer. Once she becomes a Doro, she goes out free and she can never be sold as an Om. An Eved Ivri is only a Godel who can sell himself and not a Godel. And an Omo can only be a Ketana, so how can she sell herself? Everything that she does has no value in law. Her father sells her. She's sold by the father into slavery. There's a law that if you have an Omo Ivriye, so there's a mitzvah liyad. What's that mean? Loima. She'oisi Yisroel. She'kono Omo Ivriyo. A Yisroel that buys for himself an Omo Ivriyo has a mitzvah to marry her, take her unto himself as a wife, and by that automatically the slavery is concluded. If he does not want to take her for a wife, but it's possible for him to give her as a wife to his son would be willing to take her. So it's a mitzvah to marry her to his son, to give her as a wife to his son. Shenema, imro be'ini adineho asher lo yodo behevdo. When is there pinyin that she can redeem herself, just as the eved can redeem himself if there was no yiyu? But when there is the possibility of yiyu, so then it's a mitzvah. Chazal say, "Kan romas lecho." In this pasuk, the Torah gives you an idea and a remez shemitzvah miyud. That it isn't that you may be miyayin, but that it's a mitzvah to do so. Uvefeirush omru zifreinu livrocho mitzvas yiyu. The mitzvah of yiyu koydemes the mitzvas pdi, as it says in this pasuk. When is there pidyon? If he did not take her as a wife. So what does that prove? That to take her as a wife comes before the mitzvah of pidyon, to accept redemption money for her. It's not a chiyuv that you're mechuyev and you can be kofei. You must take her as a wife. It's a mitzvah to do so, but it's not a mitzvah shekofei oleo. Mishoroshi mitzvah zu. Again, the rationale of this mitzvah is Sherichayim hakeir, that the Almighty had pity al ho'anio, upon this poor woman haninkeres, who has been sold into slavery, and not only on her, but al ovio, and upon her father shehitzadech lebeichro, who had to sell her into slavery in order to have a few dollars for himself. He had reached such a state of poverty that he was left with no other alternative except to sell his small daughter and from that to gain a few dollars. So how much is the lachmim on the father who feels this stigma? What kind of a father am I? Whatever I'm living on now is because I sold my little daughter into slavery. How much rachmonis is there evinced in this taking her as a wife upon the father? How much respect have we thereby added to him? So there is a mitzvah upon him who has bought her, to take her as a wife to himself, and to make of her a lady of the house. From a slave of the house, she has become a gveres, a lady of the house. Because Hashem Yisborach is a chan v'rachum. And therefore he wants us continually to perform such things which represent chnino and rachmi. And if the master doesn't feel that he can take her for himself, so the mitzvah is she sheheno libnoi, that he should marry her to his son. Ki gam ben adineo, even if it isn't with the master himself, but with his son, tismach betogel, she shall find simcha in life. And the purpose of it all is to make her a gveres, to find the simcha that a lady of the house has, rather than one who is a mere servant in the house. Again then, this mitzvah is also to strengthen within the soul and heart of the Jew these midas tevis that serve to make up the character that represents a Jew. And so the Torah has commanded us in many, many mitzvahs, the purpose of which is to train ourselves into chesed and rachmin, so that we will perform acts of chesed and rachmin, not merely in this, but in all life's vicissitudes. We shall always find the Jew as an ish chesed, an ish rachmi. Ho'odom nifal mimaso. We are influenced and affected by that which we do externally. By performing these mitzvahs externally, the internal essence of the Jew becomes strengthened in these midas. And this is what Torah wants. Torah wants, as a great Jew once said, "Du darfst nicht lernen Teure, du darfst sein Teure." The obligation of the Jew is not merely to study and learn Teure, but it must lead to something. What do you mean you study Teure? It's got to lead to something. What shall it lead you to? To become Teure. So that your essence as a Jew will be representative of the mitzvahs of Torah, that one should see through you the Tzelem Elokim, that this indeed is an individual, a human, who represents the image of God in the manner in which he lives. If, however, he has no son to give her to either, then the thing is the heaven. Yigareya mipidyoino, mikolnokei, under all circumstances, miyisayeno, so that in that manner he shall help her, sheteitse me'avus, that she should be able to go forth from slavery. Where is the siyua? The siyua is, suppose the market price when she was sold for this type of a servant was, let us say, $100. But now it went up. Market went up. Inflation. And to get 3 years now will cost $300. So 3 years are left, and she gives him only $50 according to the buying price, the original price. He's not getting the value that's his. So the thing is, you're not getting the value that you pay, but you're helping her. You're performing a mitzvah of rachmi in helping her. The loyshe yigre, and he shouldn't cause al kol poni shetam etachas yodei, to force her to remain with him as a servant ad zman hamechel, till the time of the mechel of the sale is completed. He took her for 6 years, to force her to remain for 6 years because he can't get the real value according to what she's now worth. No. Vehevdo, and that's why it says, not venivdis, nor vehevdo. Hevdo means he makes her to become gduyo. He helps along in it. Even if she happens to be an excellent servant, he likes her work very much, even under such circumstances. So the loss is so much greater. It's not really a loss as far as market value is concerned. Market value is for every servant. It's a loss for the service itself. He's gaining so much from her. You must give it up under all circumstances, because you must be interested in seeing to it that a Jewish girl not be a slave, but that she should be a free human being. The whole zeh, and all this, is dictated by the fact that this is part of the compassion of Hashem Yisborach al bruo on all his creatures, and stems from the character traits of Hashem Yisborach, which are so fine and so noble. So we must attempt to act just as he is, loving kind, full of compassion, compassionate. You be compassionate. You'll notice an interesting thing. It doesn't say Mahu Yehanun. Mahu Hanun, he is a Hanun. You're talking about the essence of Hashem Yisborach. Afato Hanun, afato Hanun. Attempt throughout your life to act in such manner that you shall represent Chnino. With you it must become an actual act. With Hashem Yisborach, all his acts are part of himself. And when we say part of himself, we're not referring to Chas V'Sholem to the actual essence of Hashem Yisborach. We know nothing of that. That's not part of the world of thought of a Jew at all. That's what the Gemara says, the Muflah Yukoham Tachfeir, don't interest yourself in things which are far beyond you, because it can't lead to any good. Everything that we say of Hashem Yisborach does in no manner whatsoever refer to the essence of God, because we don't know what that is. Whenever we talk about God, we talk about Him in the manner in which we recognize Him through His deeds. It's in accordance with our acceptance of what He is doing for us. In reference to us, we see the Chanino of Hashem Yisborach. But what indeed is He? That we don't know, we're not even permitted to think about it. The Muflo Mincho Al Tachfir, it can't lead to any good. But from what we see in the world at large, we are continually witness to the fact. We see acts of kindness. We see acts of Kehanavanoike. We see that Hashem Yisborach brings wars into this world. And then we see that He brings Rachim into this world. So we have to learn from these things. We have to act in accordance with the will of Hashem Yisborach. We must learn Mahu. And even more than that, Mahu Kodesh, just as we say of Hashem Yisborach, that we note in the acts of Hashem Yisborach throughout the universe that He is Kodesh. What is Kodesh? Kodesh means, always translate, holy, sanctified. Kodesh means separated and elevated above, not part of it. Stands above it. That's Kodesh. Kodesh Hashem. The Almighty stands above and beyond all that He has created in this world. Mahu Kodesh, Afato Hege Kodesh. Don't become lost in the small things of life that are part of the daily living of a person. His bodily physical needs. You remain elevated above these needs. That's Kedusha. Kedusha. Separate. Kedushin Tiyu. Prushin Tiyu. separate yourselves from the small things, the physical needs of a human being. You must have it. And it's not what we would call a necessary evil. It's necessary. And to the extent that it's necessary, it's not an evil. We don't worship necessary evils. We don't have necessary evils. If it's necessary, if we've been created by Hashem, He has brought us in such manner that man needs it. So it's not an evil. He doesn't create evils. But these are the physical needs, the material needs of man. Your business is to elevate all of life, to raise it to a different plane, to make of it Kedusha. To separate yourself from the smallness of these things and to find within it the greatness that they can become. A person has to eat. An animal also eats. A person has to drink. An animal has to drink. But there has to be a difference between the manner in which a human individual eats and drinks to sustain himself physically and materially and the way an animal. The food that a human partakes of becomes an avedas Hashem. It can be a service unto Hashem Yisbarach. Because when he eats and partakes of food, he has a feeling in him that I'm doing so in order to have the strength to serve him. What a wonderful concept this is. This is no longer merely a material need. It becomes part of the spiritual world of the Jew. And small wonder then that Chazal say, Shulchonish el Odom Zeu HaMizbeach. What's the altar of the service of God? The table of the Jew. The table upon which you eat your food. That's an altar. That service to Hashem Yisbarach. You precede it with a brocha to him. After you're finished with your meal, you have a birkas hamazon again. All of this consumption of food leads you to a recognition of where does it all come from? Who gave it to me? Isn't that service of God in the highest essence and form possible? Is there anything higher than that alone? If a Jew can only feel the presence of God when he's studying Torah, when he's wearing his tefillin, and when he eats his breakfast after the tefillin, he's not aware of the presence of God, so his tefillin are worthless, and his Torah is worthless. Shulchonei shel Odom zehu hamizbeach. Mahu kodosh, af ato heyei kodosh. All the midas of Hashem Yisbarach, all the character traits by which we recognize the manifestation of divinity throughout the universe, that must become part of our manner of living. This is the mitzvah of Dorishim Tiyu, and this is the mitzvah of Behold Rochecho De'elu, the Rambam tells. In all your ways of life, you shall always be conscious of the knowledge of God. Everything you do shall represent Das Hashem. Not for a moment shall you separate yourself from that. And then we understand a tasteless embrace. Tasteless poses an interesting question. You know, we say Birkas HaTorah in the morning. And we go out to business, each one in his business. Then we have a kriyas, we come and we learn. So why should we see Birkas HaTorah? Between the first brocha and now, I've been doing many other things. So I should say a brocha all over again. And we say a brocha only once a day in the morning. Why is that? So Teshuva says, because the whole day, Daitarol, the whole day when he's in place of business and he's engaged in his profession, his thought is never removed from the Torah of Hashem Yisbarach, from the mitzvahs of Hashem Yisbarach. That's what we're talking about. The Jew in the business place, in the marketplace, the Jew in the law office, the Jew in the doctor's office, there he's part and parcel of Torah. There's a story told about the synthesis of Keller. What was he with one of the grandfathers of Rabbi Dessler? He had a son who was studying Torah when he was a young man in a very famous Torah center, a little town called Eshisho. Later he became a grain merchant in Kenningsburg. So the Psinkasisel once visited him when he was already a businessman. And his father, Doppenbelbel was his name, he named after Doppenbelbel Dessler, didn't even know that his father had come to see him. He specifically didn't want his son to know that he's dead. He wanted to see how his son acts in the business world when he's away from Keller. What does he do on the grain market? And he came home and he said, "Hab gesehen, as noch ein Velvo steht auf dem Markt." He's there at the market of the grain where the prices are determined up and down. He stands there mit seinem Sinische Schurim in Hand. He wasn't carrying the safer there. He had other things to carry when he was in the marketplace. But I saw on him that this is a Jew who walks for the Mashiach Yeshurim. Wherever he goes, he represents Mashiach Yeshurim. As I'm Mashiach Yeshurim, wherever he goes. He didn't just study Torah, he was Torah. That's what Torah wants of a Jew. And that's our purpose in studying mitzvahs through the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch, more than any other of the Rishonim who discuss the rationale of mitzvahs, keeps pounding away at this idea that the purpose of mitzvahs is to make us into mitzvah personalities. That's the purpose of mitzvah. We should become personalities of mitzvah, as he says here. Kol zeh. This is part of Hashem Yisborach Sodi Umimidoysa Vamu Ulis. He put it into a mitzvah to obligate us so to act, so that we, in our actions, would be representative of these wonderful character traits of Chesed and of Rachmin that are part of the being of Hashem Yisborach, as he reveals himself in his acts to us and to all of mankind. This is the importance of the study of mitzvahs.